Jacinda Bourne pressed her back against the study door, clutching a volume of Emma in one hand and a feather duster in the other. A breath of relief left her as the latch clicked softly into place. No one had seen her. Still, she knew she didn't have much time, not with the hazy light of dawn creeping into the Duke of Rydstrom's panelled study, spreading like accusatory fingers through the sunburst transom window above heavy pleats of midnight blue brocade. Soon, his servants would finish breakfasting below stairs. Then they would begin their daily tasks, which surely included lighting a fire in the cold-veined marble hearth along the far wall. Therefore, she needed to hurry her investigation and... Achoo! Trat! Clearly, grabbing the feather duster had been a tactical error. Her pulse hitched in a sudden nervous jolt. She went still, listening for any sound of movement beyond the door, but the riotous thrumming in her ears made it impossible to hear. A warning voice in her head told her to slip away before she was caught. But Jacinda ignored it. She had to. How could she leave before she found the evidence she was looking for? The only problem was she didn't know what the Duke was hiding. But he was hiding something. She'd been certain of that since he'd marched into her office at the Bourne Matrimonial Agency earlier this week. Every inch of his tall frame had been stiff and guarded, his fists clenched, his expression hard and intractable. In response, a peculiar sense of expectation had filled her, a certain knowing that there was more behind the clipped, evasive answers he provided, secrets that she needed to uncover before she found him a bride. After all, matchmaking was a serious endeavor. Jacinda and her sisters, along with Uncle Ernest, set out to forge lasting, happy unions for their clients. And finding a person's ideal counterpart wasn't easy. It took effort, careful consideration, and, in Jacinda's opinion, tenacity. That was the reason she was currently disguised as a servant, complete with apron and a ruffled cap over her dark auburn hair. It was all in the line of duty. Early on, she learned that some of their clients neglected to reveal certain undesirable elements on their applications, like property entailments, inheritance disputes, madness, mistresses, gambling debts, and even illegitimate children. Because of that, each client of the Bourne Matrimonial Agency was obligated to undergo a cursory investigation. Though perhaps sneaking into the Duke's residence was a slight exaggeration of their contract. Her sisters would be furious if they knew. Ainsley, the eldest, had already warned Jacinda that if her methods cost them clients, then her only contribution to the agency would be to serve tea in the parlour. Briar, the youngest, had skillfully plied Jacinda with guilt, reminding her that their business was created to honour their late mother, and to ensure that no one suffered her fate of marrying the wrong sort. According to her sisters, doggedness only cast a favourable light on soldiers, not debutantes or matchmakers. But Jacinda didn't agree. Proving a person was the right sort demanded equal parts determination and readiness, using any means to discover the information. Though, in the future, she would avoid using a feather duster to complete her disguise. Pressing her ear to the door, all was quiet, aside from the distant ticking of a pendulum clock. Relieved, her heartbeat gradually slowed, each thump reminding her that she was here for a purpose. She was a matchmaker, decidedly the most important profession of all. Her fingertips wrapped around her book, pulsing with this awareness. Shortly before their beloved mother had died, Heloise Bourne Cartwright had gifted each of her daughters with a separate volume of Emma. To Jacinda, she'd given the first, in which Miss Woodhouse's character revealed her unabashed determination. To Briar, she'd given the second, in which Miss Woodhouse possessed the most hope. And to Ainsley, the third and final volume, in which Miss Woodhouse showed wisdom beyond her years. Feeling the stamped leather press into the soft flesh of her palm, Jacinda's own determination was reborn. She drew in a deeper breath, her lungs expanding against the apron sash beneath her breasts. For an instant, she'd nearly begun to doubt the plan she'd hatched at 3 o'clock this morning. But obviously, true genius could strike at any moment. Besides, the Duke had brought this upon himself. Not only had he refused to answer all her questions, he'd lied directly to her about his income. Her recent visit to his solicitor revealed that Crispin Montague, the fifth Duke of Rydstrom, was nearly bankrupt, his estate in ruins,